WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right, here we are. Back for the second hour. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with my co-pastor, associate pastor, Pastor Jim, at Beacon of Hope Ministries. We've been working together over 8 years.
Almost 8 years.
And it is such a delight, Pastor Jim, to work alongside of you in the ministry. And you've been on this show for almost that length of time, close to it. And we love doing these shows, don't we? I mean, anybody that can do almost 500 shows, which we have now, has got to enjoy what they're doing, I think.
Yeah. If we didn't, we wouldn't be on the air.
And, you know, it's money the ministry puts into spreading the word. If you would like to donate towards the radio ministry, that's what your money would go for. You just go to our website again, www.bohmglobal.com, to the homepage. Go to the bottom where it says donations, and it will open up PayPal, and you can give. Your money will be used to further this radio ministry that we do faithfully week after week, now in our 10th year. It's almost hard to even imagine, Pastor Jim, that we've done 9 full years, every single Sunday afternoon, never missed a one, never missed a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy, don't you think?
Pretty crazy. That would make this at least show 9,468. So we're closing in on 500.
We're closing in on 500, and we'll probably calculate that and find out when 500 is and throw a big celebration. So, but you know, we do this because it's joy. We're not paid to do this. We do this, we give of ourselves week after week. The radio team, it's you and me, Nathan, Cindy, Betty, Megan, Nan. There's several of us that are comprise the radio team, and they alternate with you and I. But it's a joy for us to be able to do this. This is not a burden. This is fun to be able to talk about God in a nation where we are free to do so, PJ.
Amen.
And free to play the songs we want to play, and free to talk about the love of God, and to discuss these issues in a very frank and honest way that we know blesses many, many. About a year and a half ago, we hooked up with StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Four words, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And every Saturday morning and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, this show is heard, followed by our Go Yard show right at noon, at 12 noon Eastern, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So these are played, and StarCom goes across 34, 36 cities across the United States and in 8 countries. So this show will be heard this Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. You can tell a friend and say, hey, I listened to this. I want you to listen to it, and it's a good way to hear it. Plus, we put our shows on our website at the end of each month. So, Pastor Jim, for those that say, I don't know how to learn the Word, these are great ways to get in the Word, isn't it?
Yeah, you can use the radio shows as a Bible study.
Absolutely, you can.
You know, because believe me, we're all over the Word.
We are. And this church, this ministry is all about the Word of God. Our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's all about the Word.
Amen.
It's all about the Word. So we encourage you to send your prayer requests in to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and listen to shows.
And visit us. If you are in the Tampa
Bay
area.
Yes, talk about Wednesday night.
Yeah, please come and join us. We are at the Red Roof Inn, newly bought and now being renovated, Red Roof Inn.
Yes.
Praise God for that renovation. It'll be great when it's done. In Clearwater, it's the air. I think it's still called the Airport Red Roof Inn.
3580 Almerton.
Almerton is near. It's near the St. Pete Clearwater Airport. So
yes,
pretty easy to get to. But come and join us. We are there every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We start prayer requests at about 6:00. We take prayer requests. We pray out of the Prayers That Avail Much book because we believe in praying the Word. So we do that. We take prayer requests and praise reports. We pray about those. And then at 6:30, we start our praise and worship, and then we get into the Word right after that. It's very interactive.
Yes.
So bring a notebook, bring your Bible, bring your questions, bring your dinner.
Amen.
Because a lot of us, you know,
come straight from work.
Come straight from work, or almost straight from work. So yeah, bring, you know, it's pretty casual, but it's a good time to get together to talk about the Word.
Amen. We welcome you every Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Actually, Bible study starts right at 6:30. Prayer meeting at 6. Out of there around 8. Yeah. So it's not a long evening, but it's a valuable, wonderful evening. So we encourage you to join us. This next song, as we start our second hour on this show today, Pastor Jim, has been one that gripped me the first time I ever heard it by Casting Crowns. City on a Hill. Mm-hmm. Do you want to give an intro for that song?
It's, I think it's one of their more powerful songs, because it points out, like we talked about in the first hour, kind of the hypocrisy and
yes,
the meanness that can be
yes,
in the world.
Yes.
And it shows that we need each other.
Right.
The song is all about needing each other and being connected to each other, that actually reminds me of some of those verses in Ephesians that I read today about we all have a job to do.
That's right.
You know, we're all part of the same body, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12. And this song really brings that out in a wonderful way.
Absolutely. And if you're following along in your Bible, you can find Ephesians chapter 4. And whatever verse Pastor Jim wants to begin with, we will do that here in just a few minutes. Listen to this song, City on a Hill.
Shine bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak, and the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, but they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. The world is searching still. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was the story of the poor man that made it to be told. It is the rhythm of the dancers that gives the poet's life. It is the spirit the poets that gives the soldier strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story. that's needing to be told. One by one will be run away.
I love that song.
I do too.
You know, it just calls it like it is, Pastor Jim, you know, where so many people think that, you know, people are less than they are, you know, in whatever area of their lives. And it just shows, that song just shows how we need each other. We need the wisdom of the older ones. The young ones need that. And just how the different gifts in the body of Christ balance each other out. I love that.
Which would be Ephesians chapter 4.
And here we go.
Yeah. Well, and I'm actually, if you don't mind, I want, I just...
You go, we'll start, do whatever.
Okay, verse 1, Paul's writing, "So I, a prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you, live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called."
Amen.
"That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior, a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation."
Yes.
If you do that, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
"With all humility, forsaking self-righteousness and gentleness, maintaining self-control, with patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love."
Oh.
I mean, that kind of sums up.
That's what that song is talking about.
Exactly. And then he says, I love this part. "Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace."
Yes.
You know, we talked on the show before about the peace of God. Let it ruling... And that's over in Colossians chapter 3.
Absolutely.
"Let it rule in your heart, because peace is going to enable you to have a clear head to hear God." Well, here he says, make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
"Each individual working together to make the whole successful. For there is one body of believers and one Spirit, as you were called to one hope when called to salvation."
Amen.
"One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who was sovereign over all and working through all and living in all." That's so important.
That's it.
I mean, right there.
Yeah.
There's so much division, and Paul says, no.
Right.
There cannot be. To keep the oneness of the Spirit. And again, he follows it up, and I love this. So I love the fact that Paul was so moved by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, absolutely.
He follows it up in verse 7. And I like the way the Amplified puts this. "Yet grace, God's undeserved favor, was given to each one of us, not indiscriminately, but in different ways in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and abundant gift."
Amen.
So we all have, we may not be referring back to the song, a poet, a dancer, a soldier. We may be one of those, but that doesn't mean we're any
right.
better than anybody else. Paul says, keep that oneness.
Yes.
If we want to hear from God, we have to keep that oneness. And part of that
Amen.
Is what we talked about in the first hour is forgiving.
Yes, it is.
I mean, here he says, bearing with one another in unselfish love.
Amen.
We have to do that, or, you know, there will be factions. There'll be divisions.
Absolutely.
There'll be cliques. There'll be heresies. There'll
yes.
be, you know, whatever. And then, you know, he goes on to say about Jesus giving gifts to the church. And something hit me about this today, about the fivefold
right.
ministry, the apostle,
right.
prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That, too, is important if we want to hear from God.
That's right.
Because
we
talked, I think last week maybe when I was on, about fellowshipping, being in fellowship. Because,
Amen.
Or maybe we mentioned it on a Wednesday night. About how important that is
yes.
in hearing from God. Well, here's another aspect of that. If you think you heard from God, talk to your pastor.
Right.
You know, or whoever, your apostle, whatever. Verify it with them. Get guidance, get wisdom.
Right.
You know, Proverbs says, you know, many counselors, their strength. You know, you'll get the victory with many counselors. Go and talk to your pastoral leadership about it.
Exactly.
But he says, this is so that we grow up, we're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine, and that is so important today.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are so many differing doctrines and false religions, and you know, even within Christianity, you know, there's so much difference.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, Paul says, the whole purpose of your pastoral leadership is to help you to grow up.
Amen.
And that this all kind of I love the way when I was reading this whole chapter, it all kind of flowed. And he says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love in all things.
I love that verse. Yes.
Both our speech and our lives expressing his truth.
Amen.
Let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love.
Amen. And then there's that unselfish love comment right there.
Again,
I love that. Again.
And this kind of refers back to the song too. Boy, that's kind of neat the way
see
that
how
all
that
fit together.
That's the Holy Spirit doing that. Yeah.
You know, we grow up into Jesus.
Yes, we do.
And the whole body grows and matures, building itself up in love.
Oh, amen.
God's calling us to maturity,
yes.
And part of that is forgiving. It's all the groundwork. Forgiving, loving, all that stuff.
Amen.
So we can hear from him, so we can grow up, because it says over in Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus is going to come back for a glorious church.
Amen.
This is all that part of that preparation for that.
It so is. And when we are operating in selfishness, you know, all about ourselves and easily offended and easily hurt by others and constantly talking behind people's backs and gossiping and all of that. That's that from that song, City on a Hill, when we're pointing fingers and not looking, allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work in us, it's not going to go well. It's going to get all messed up. The church is going to be full of all kinds of problems, and not just church, your families, your homes, everything else, when it's all about self and it's not, we're not having an attitude of, I want to stay pure and in the right attitude so that I can be the best parent or the best worker at my job or the best, you know, partner or whatever it is that I am, that I can do that because I'm not just majoring on myself all the time, you know?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. It's so frustrating sometimes.
It is.
You know, I grew up in church. I, you know, wasn't saved all that time, but I did grow up in church, and I've seen, when I was in high school,
right,
our youth leader wanted to have a dance in the fellowship hall.
Right.
Oof, you would have thought the Antichrist had risen.
Right.
I mean, and that almost split the church. And then,
right.
And, you know, I wasn't saved at the time. And then that whole charismatic thing happened.
Yeah.
That almost split the church. And, so silly.
Yes.
It's just so silly.
Right.
And yet, because right here it says, the grace that we have, it's not just like he dumped it on on everybody indiscriminately, but gives it to us in different ways.
Oh, yes.
In proportion to our faith, so that we can be a body.
Right.
You know, we all fit together. We're a building. I love the metaphors Paul uses, a building, a body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're being
so
built
true.
Up.
Yes.
And that's so important. And we can't do that if we don't forgive each other, if we're not gracious to each other. Because there's going to be bricks missing, and that just weakens the whole building. Or if there's a body
exactly.
part missing.
Well, and that happens all the time in churches, Pastor Jim. You know it, and I know it. Somebody gets bent out of shape about something. Instead of talking it through, doing the scriptural process of going to your brother who's offended you, forgive, let it go, and all that, it becomes something huge, and soon they're walking out the door mad. You know, it happens all the time, and that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about just the opposite. We can't grow if we don't stick together and let the iron sharpen the iron and let our differences help us, not drive us apart.
Which is kind of what he talks about in verses 17 and 19.
Yes, it is.
You know, he
yes.
tells us not to walk like the world, not to be like the Gentiles.
Right.
You know, and he just pretty much lays it on the line.
He does
don't
lay it on
be the... like the Gentiles.
Right.
Don't be like the unsaved. And, you know, I love verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of like gentle rap on the knuckles.
On the knuckles. Instead, let's concentrate on the power of his love.
Amen.
Which goes nice right into that next song, right? Woo, by the group Hillsong. I love that song. And it is all about loving each other and loving God so thoroughly and so completely that you want to get along with people. You don't want to harbor grudges. Amen. Woo, power of his love. Love this song.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Will you flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to love the weaknesses I see in me.
Praise God. What a great song. What is that? That just moves me. That song just, it's the power of his love that causes us to be able to love the unlovely and to forgive those mm-hmm. that do offend us or hurt us or those that are just downright rude and mean, you know? It's the power of his love and the way he teaches us to forgive by his own example, you know?
And he teaches us, and I think it's important to remember he empowers us.
He does empower us.
You know, he empowers us. It's like a whole, you know, decades worth of teaching on just that one concept itself.
Oh, yeah.
He empowers us because he has exchanged one life for another. And again, I said in the last hour, he doesn't ask us to do the impossible.
Right.
But he empowers us to do the impossible.
He does.
You know, we can say, oh, it's impossible. I can't do this. I can't forgive. I can't love. Yeah, you can, but as long as it's coming out of your mouth that you can't, you're not.
Right.
If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
With God, all things are possible. The church that's on before, she was saying that. She was really going on
was
that
she?
Today.
I didn't hear that. I ran
with God,
late.
All things are possible.
Praise God. Amen.
And, you know, that's so true.
So true. But we're the ones that limit our interactions with others because we get offended easily, you know. Remember that series I taught a few years back, Offense, Take It or Leave It? It's our choice. We right. can take offense or we can let it go.
Well, and I think, again, something just popped into my head. So much of what we do, we think is based on emotion.
Right.
And are we based too much of our lives on emotion?
Right.
When so much of it needs to be more acts of our will.
Exactly.
You know, I can choose to be offended. I can choose not to be offended. You know, and everybody, I mean, you know, somebody rubs you the wrong way or somebody says something to you. At that moment, you might say, you know,
right.
that really upsets me. But at that moment, too, you have the choice to say, okay, I'm going to hold on to this. How dare they treat me this way? Or you have the choice to say, you know what, in Jesus' name,
yeah,
it's
let it
done.
Go.
I let it go. I forgive in Jesus' name. And you go on about your business.
Again, forgiveness does not mean we agree with what happened, but it means we let it go. They don't owe us any more. Let it go. I still have not seen the movie Frozen, but I will be seeing it this week with my great-granddaughters.
Can you imagine that?
Can you imagine? And they said, we're watching that, or their mommy did. But they sing it. They're 2-year-olds, and they walk around and go, let it go, you know, it's so cute. And honestly, we can all learn from that popular movie and that whole concept of let it go. It's not, all it's going to do is give you sleepless nights, if you hang on to it, let the root of bitterness get down in there and grow and turn into resentment. It'll affect your stomach. It'll affect your life in your interpersonal relationships. People will know there's something wrong with you. They're just something off, you know. I mean, harboring resentments and unforgiveness shows all over you, in my mm-hmm. opinion, PJ. It just does.
No, it does because, well, just like showing forgiveness.
Right.
I mean, yeah. It's two opposites. If you've forgiven, then you're free.
Yes.
And your life is going to show that.
Right.
I mean, again, it's that fork in the road, which way
right.
you're going to go.
That's right.
You know, we can choose to hold on to it and be bitter.
Right.
Or we can just let it go.
But so many people hold on to these things, you know, and that's why I think Paul addresses this over and over again. That's why I think Jesus made such a drastic statement. If you don't forgive, God the Father will not forgive you. Do you want to address that concept right there? Because that, to me, causes people to sit up and have their ears perk up on that whole concept right there.
Well, and I think it offends a lot of people.
It does.
What do you mean? God's a forgiving God. Yeah, he is. And forgiveness is free, but it ain't like Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about cheap grace. There's also cheap forgiveness.
Right.
It comes, it's free, but, and it's a big but, you have to give it as well as receive it.
Right.
You
sow, you reap, right?
Yes.
Sow resentment and unforgiveness?
You're going to reap that.
Exactly.
And I'm kind of picturing like God's pouring forgiveness into you. And it's just like stopped up, like your drain gets stopped up
right.
because you're not letting it flow out
right.
to others.
That's right.
His forgiveness does you no good unless you forgive others.
Right.
And I mean, Jesus said it right after the Lord's Prayer. He says, you've got to forgive others or your
That's
Father
right.
won't forgive you. We talked in Matthew 18, the parable
yes.
of the two slaves, the one who owed his master everything. I mean, he owed him, you know, millions of dollars in our currency. And the master forgave him that debt. And yet when that slave went out and found a fellow slave who owed him a few dollars.
Right.
He had him thrown into prison.
Right.
Well, that didn't go over well because the other slaves told the master, and they had that first slave tossed into prison.
Exactly.
And Jesus said, so will your heavenly Father do to you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
And that story in Matthew 18, the last part of Matthew 18, is Jesus talking, telling the story.
Right.
So it bears us sitting up and paying attention that Jesus is saying, this will happen to you also if you do not forgive from your heart. Can people just forgive with their words and not from their heart, PJ?
They can, but it's going to show. I mean,
it's going to show.
From your heart,
yeah.
It's an act of your will.
I agree.
I can mouth forgiveness
all day long. Yeah.
But unless I'm actually in my head saying, making that decision to forgive.
That's right.
I mean, I could say, oh, I forgive you. And then, you know, it's going to come out eventually. Did you know what that person did to me?
Right.
You know, it's going to, out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Exactly.
If you've got unforgiveness in here, it's going to bubble out. If
it
you have
is.
Forgiveness in your heart, that's what's going to come out.
Okay, so let's bring this right home to why we're talking about this day, when we're talking about making the right decisions, when we come to those points in our lives that we call choice points, where we have choices. We can go this way or that way, and we can listen to the voice of God. But why does forgiveness have such a huge part in getting on the right path with God?
Well, like I said before, it unforgiveness or forgiveness, you've either got, with unforgiveness, you're just in a fog.
Right.
Again, because everything is filtered through whatever's going on inside of us. If we let go of that stuff, if we forgive, it's gone. It's like, you know, well, sometimes here in Florida, depending on the weather, you can drive in and out of fog several times
on
your way to work. I mean,
right.
It's a thick fog.
Right.
And I never had that experience until vacationing here. And that's how I picture forgiveness, unforgiveness. The word of God gets, you know, you can get lost in a fog.
Right.
And it's just, you know, hearing from God just gets all twisted around in the fog.
Exactly.
You ask, you know, you're forgiving, the fog clears, you can hear from God.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's like the sun breaks through. You know, breaks through that fog.
And I don't know about you, but I have lived this. I think we all have. And we've come to points in our lives, choice points, where we had to choose whether or not we were going to stay in that unforgiveness and let it take root and become bitterness, resentment, and all of that. And we've all done it. We've all allowed it to do that. And then something happens in our lives, and it's like a big neon sign that comes from God saying, you know where you got off the path? You got off the path right back there where you held all that resentment and all that bitterness over whatever the situation was.
Mm-hmm.
Or where you could not forgive your sister, your brother, your spouse, your mother, whoever. And when we get off that path, we're going to think we're hearing from God, and we can get all screwed up, all messed up, don't you think?
Oh, I agree.
I've been there, done that.
I honestly think a lot of the cultists,
yes,
too, are deceived because of unforgiveness.
Right.
I think deception can come from unforgiveness.
Oh, absolutely.
Warped views of the Godhead come
right.
from unforgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Warped views of what it means to be, what holiness is.
Right.
And whatever, you know, whatever it is. That can come from unforgiveness, or, you know, because obviously there's a hurt or an incident, an abuse of some sort that's unforgiven, that's still controlling your life and controlling
yes.
your thoughts.
Right. You know, the Bible talks about love conquering evil, you know, and it does that if we allow it, if we allow our hearts to be so like that song we just played, the power of God's love in us will cause our perspective to change, will cause us to become just more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and following. What verse do you want to go to in Ephesians 4 right there?
Well, I would like to jump down to verse 25, 26, and 27 because
I was turning
when
to that.
I read this yes. morning in the Amplified, I about shouted out a hallelujah.
Let's do it.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, rejecting all falsehood, whether lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, spreading rumors, any such of these, speak the truth each one with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one another, and we are all parts of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you your shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment
wow.
or cultivating bitterness.
Whoa, that just says it like it is right there, doesn't
it? When I read that this morning in the Amplified version, I thought, I've got to tell Pastor about this.
And then I wrote you and said, this is what we're going to talk about
exactly.
today.
Exactly. This is exactly where I was at. And I was thinking, and I love the way this puts it. I mean,
I do
just,
too.
It's just right out there. And, you know, that be angry at sin, you know,
right.
immorality and all that. But don't sin in the process.
Exactly.
And don't let the sun go down on it. And that goes right to the heart of forgiveness.
It does.
Be angry at what's happened to you, but don't let it control you. Don't let it become sin. And
right.
I love this. Don't let the sun go down on it.
And that means settle it quickly, like in the other passage that we were looking at in Colossians. Settle it quickly. Forgive quickly as God forgave you, you know, mm-hmm. and just let it go back to that point here.
Right. And here's the icing on the cake. Matthew, I think it's chapter 5. Jesus says, if you think your brother has something against you, not you having something against your brother.
Oh, yes.
Jesus goes above and beyond anything that we would think would be humanly
right.
possible. If I think my brother or sister in Jesus has something against me, I'm supposed to go running off to them and ask for their forgiveness.
Right.
Ooh.
In other words, we cultivate an atmosphere of forgiveness.
A lifestyle of forgiveness.
A lifestyle of forgiveness where we want to forgive and we desire to be forgiven to the extent that we're on guard, we're on watch, like a watchdog. And when it tries, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness tries to come in and get you off of the path that God has for your life and get you over there in Grudge City where you want to hang out and go back over the grudge over and over again.
Sounds like the name of a bar.
It does,
Grudge City.
I know, yeah. But, you know, so many people can get stuck over there in Grudge City. I've seen it all my life in the ministry, Pastor Jim. And they can tell you the day, the time, the whatever that so-and-so offended them, and they're not about to forget it or forgive it.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's that. The verses in Matthew popped into my head, and I thought, Not only do you ask me to forgive somebody when they've offended me,
right?
But you're asking me to go, if I think I've offended someone, I have to go ask their forgiveness?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Exactly.
but it is what God says to do.
And again, it's that kind of lifestyle that we cultivate that forgiveness.
Whoa.
Because that helps us to maintain everything else Paul talked about in this chapter about the unity in the body of Christ. Even with all of our differences, we can still have a unity.
Amen.
But we have, I mean, this takes guts.
It does.
I'm sorry, Christianity is not for pansies. It's not for babies.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's not.
It's for people who will stand up and be counted and be
exactly,
who they are.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is not for weaklings.
Woo!
You know, it's tough. God does require a lot of us.
He does.
A lot from us. But again, I emphasize he empowers us to do the impossible.
And it's because he loves us so much.
Amen.
That he wants us to be on the right path with him all the time. I've been watching that with my little great grandbabies, and their parents are good about correcting them. And no, you're not going to have that attitude. No, you're not going to do that. This is what I told you to do. This is what you're going to do, you know? And this is our Heavenly Father with us. Mm-hmm. I told you to forgive, he says. I told you to love each other. I told you to keep short accounts with God, which I want to talk about right after this song. And I expect you to do it. And because of that, you will be blessed by doing it. Love stepped in by the group Finding Favor. Let's see what Pastor Jim has to say right after this song.
He was preaching down off of 3rd and Main as I was passing by. He was talking kind of crazy, warning us all about the end of time. So out from the crowd, I just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know, you'll never know just how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. 'Cause I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell and back again. I was almost out, I was at my end, but then love stepped in. She worked downtown at the halfway house almost every day. So much time on the broken and the poor, and she just smiled at me and said, I'm not who I was before. Since the day that preacher told me about his amazing love, I was lost and alone, and the lights came on, and hope set my heart free.
Love stepped in, changed my life. Like that song.
I do too.
Till love stepped in. You know, I think those of us that have been walking with the Lord a long time, a lot of us started walking with the Lord at a very young age. I did. I know you were pretty young yourself. And it's become such a long way of a way of life for so long. But then you have people that it's a new way of life. And love stepped in and changed them entirely. And God is love. And he wants to step into your life, dear listener. And he wants to change you from the heart out, from the inside out. And he wants your desires to be different. He wants your goals, your path, to be so in line with his desire for your life that everything changes. And love stepped in, and you won't be the same person anymore.
Amen. Amen.
Short accounts with God.
Exactly.
Talk about it.
Well, sometimes when we sin, I know I sometimes will do this. It's like, well, if I let enough time pass, it won't feel so bad. Just do it. Just ask for forgiveness.
Exactly.
God already knows you sinned, and he has already forgiven you, but it takes... Anytime we sin, it separates us.
It
sin
does.
It separates us from God. We can let all sorts of time go by, but if that sin is still there, there's still going to be that separation.
Right.
We just, if we sin, excuse me, we just need to immediately ask God for forgiveness, you know, and get it over with. The same thing with our relationship with our brothers and sisters.
Right.
It's the same thing, because the
short
longer
accounts
we let it go,
right,
the greater chance there is of it growing,
yes,
and becoming bitterness and resentment. You know, a little hurt, if left alone, it's going to grow.
It will.
It may grow slowly, it may grow fast, but it's going to grow. And if we keep short accounts with that, we uproot it before it really takes
root. That's right.
You know, we get rid of it before it takes root. And we can move on.
Absolutely. I have a patio off my screen porch at my home, and it's got, you know, little big tiles, but these little tiny weeds start coming up, little tiny, tiny things. And every few days I go out there and I make sure all the little ones are out of there quickly. And it takes me less than a minute. Okay. But I know that if I just let that stuff grow, pretty soon it's going to be a nice, yucky weed that's hard to pull out, and it's going to look really bad. And it's a metaphor for what happens in our own lives. Let those, keep short accounts with God. Get those tiny weeds out of there. You say, well, that's not a big deal that I'm hurt and mad and not speaking to so-and-so.
Yeah, it is.
I went to a funeral the other day, and I had somebody say to me, this one's not talking to that one, and that one's not talking to this one. And I'm like, really? You know, that's the opposite of what we're talking about here today. Okay? Keep short accounts with God and with each other, family members, church members, whatever it may be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, right?
Amen.
You know, and be that light and be that.
Because you can't be the city on the hill.
You can't be. Right.
If you're fractured, if you're splintered.
Yes.
And that, of course, is what the devil wants to do, is
right,
keep the body of Christ splintered and broken.
Right.
And one of the big things he uses, kind of summing this up, is unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
Because that builds up those walls, that keeps us apart, that keeps us from being unified. And keeps us from growing.
Absolutely. And you may say, well, that's no big thing. But then if you think about that incident and you feel that twinge of, ugh, I'm still upset about that. What is that? That's unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about that incident and you don't feel that emotion because you have gone through the steps to forgive and let it go, you know, you and I both were married a long time ago, and in marriages where it ends in divorce, you have those memories, you know. But I have really worked on through the years when a memory comes up that, I release forgiveness to him for that, you know, and I let it go. And now when I think of things, some of it is just comical. It's not painful anymore. It's just like, oh, okay, that happened. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And two things. That also works for sins, because like I talked about earlier in the show,
right,
we have those memories. Sometimes those memories will come up, and I just say, under the blood.
Right.
It's, you know, I've asked
not
for forgiveness.
Harbor it.
It's under,
yes.
It's, that sin is under the blood, taken
yes.
care of. You can't condemn me with it. But, yeah, and if you do harbor these things, and... It's almost that going to someone to ask their forgiveness. I think
right.
I've shared on this show. Last fall, I was with my daughter, and God told me very specifically to do something in regards to my ex-wife, to ask
right.
her forgiveness. And it wasn't so much that it was that I, you know, I didn't expect it to, you know, to hear much back. But it was in obedience. I had to be the one, like
that's right.
in Matthew chapter 5,
that's right.
to go and ask for forgiveness. Jesus says, settle it quickly with
settle
your
it
opponent.
Quickly. Absolutely.
Settle it quickly. And I held on to this for a long time, and whew, off my back.
Yes.
You know?
And it changes the way you see life in general when you are walking around without that great big bag of unforgiveness on your back. You know, it really does. It weighs you down.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And it causes you to really see life through rose-colored glasses not in a good way, not in a pretty little rose color, but an attitude of, man, I just every time I see that person, it makes me feel,
Well, and it does. I mean, and, you know, if any of my family members are listening, y'all need to forgive my ex-wife, okay? It's out there now. We just need to all get past that. It's been 30 years.
Right,
so
exactly.
Time to forgive.
Right.
But again, I know what it's like to harbor
yes.
that unforgiveness.
Yes.
And even when you think it's hidden and you've tried to push it down so far.
Right.
It's going to come up. And God said it needs to be dealt with. It's too much time has passed.
Absolutely.
It has to be dealt with.
And he says, forgive quickly. Okay. Keeping short accounts for your own mental health is fantastic, because so often the longer we harbor it, the deeper it goes, the harder it is to let it go, and the more compounded it becomes with other things. You see, oh, there's that attitude again, you know, and you can just go off on a tangent pretty easy.
Well, and then it's the psychological term would be transference.
Right.
You see something in someone else, and immediately you're thinking of the person that offended you.
That's right.
And you can't work with that second person because they remind you too much of the first person.
That's exactly right.
And I mean, I've had that happen several times. But then when I forgive that person, when I get past it, that transference disappears. I mean,
exactly.
I can work with the second person because I no longer put them in the abuser's box, in the person I'm angry at little box.
Exactly.
Did that make sense?
It did.
Okay.
And honestly, this whole show has been very real life, gut level. Let's talk about the things that keep us from hearing God correctly, the things that get us off of the path that we need to be on, the things that short circuit our power in so many ways, and short circuit our ability to accomplish the things in life we want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time's a wasting, folks, and we're all getting a little older, and it's time to let go of some of that stuff. And on Father's Day, you know, we say this a lot, but I'll tell you what, a lot of us have a picture of God, like you mentioned earlier, Pastor Jim, that is very related to the picture of our earthly father. And if our earthly father has been unforgiving, has been mean, has been, you know, all of that, we correlate that and associate that with our Heavenly Father. And frankly, it's not fair to God. So
no,
we need to forgive God sometimes.
Well, and you know, yeah, I mean, we get angry at God. And,
right.
You know, we can't see why something happened. I mean, I know people that are mad at God for what happened last week, you know, in Orlando. And I
yes.
guarantee you, God had nothing
he
to do with
He didn't
have
anything to that. Do with it. He didn't tell anybody to do that.
No, not at all. And, you know,
although some of those hateful preachers talking make it sound like this was a God event, you
it
know?
It was nothing of the sort.
Not at all. No.
But we just, the whole point is forgiveness is an act of your will. Forgiveness, we're called to have forgiveness as a lifestyle.
Exactly.
Because, and I made this point at the very beginning, and I do think it bears repeating, we literally have to walk in that, or we're not going to be able to walk at all pretty soon.
Right.
I mean, with the political climate, I mean, look at all the bitterness in the political climate.
Don't even want to talk about it.
Well, I don't either. I'm just saying, look at all the bitterness, and the rancor.
Exactly.
The downright hatred and what it's spawned is lies and half-truths and all that. Again, just like we said, that's all.
Right.
That's all part of that. I think, we have to be forgiving. We have to be discerning.
Exactly.
And the only way to be truly discerning is to have your heart clear before God.
Amen.
Which means having assurance of forgiveness of your own sins.
Right.
Having assurance that you've forgiven others. And having assurance that you are at least trying to be forgiven by others, that you're doing your part.
Absolutely.
I can ask somebody to forgive me, then it's on them.
Right.
I've done what I can do. I've released that.
Exactly.
So we have to walk in all of that so that we can have a clear heart, clear conscience, as Paul talks about, and walk in that so that we can be strengthened, so we can hear from God, so we can be strengthened by the Word, strengthened by the Spirit.
Amen. You're right on. And as always, we've had a wonderful show together.
Yes, we
and
have.
And we have two in a row here, as it turned out. That was just you and I, and that's unusual. And but anyway, we're so glad to be able to share the Word of God with you, our listening audience, and the audience on StarCom Radio Network. That's four words, StarComRadioNetwork.com. Every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can hear this very show this coming Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, followed by our Go Yard Show, which is our life coaching show on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. on this station with Dr. Angel Falzone and with me, my other name, Mama Mac. So anyway, Pastor Jim is just sitting in there shaking his head crazy. My car is Mini Mac, and my computer's Mighty Mac, and, you know, what can I say? And it's just all of that. Anyway, we're glad you've joined us today. And please remember, it's not far to Jesus. He's right there for you.
Amen.
So we hope to see you again on the air next Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. on this radio station, and on Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, StarComRadioNetwork.com. God bless you. It's been Pastor Marcia and Pastor Jim bringing you the Word of God this day. It is not far to Jesus. God bless you.
Safely to his side. There's no need for